The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
Good morning. Another day that God comes to us in many different ways. God today is going to plant the cross right in the midst of our own selfishness. Hey, you kids, for a second. How many of you like to stand in lines? One person. Should we ask them? How many of you like to stand in lines waiting? Is there anyone? Not one single person. Did you notice that? I need to tell you a story. Every time I get to go back to the United States, there's one of my... It's kind of an excitement factor. About 5 months before, because that's how long it takes to plan, I get this feeling of something different is going to happen, something amazing. So we go to the airport, and 3 hours beforehand, you get through security, and you go to the gate. There I sit, and I watch people. Does anybody else watch people at the airports? Do you ever make up stories about them while you're there? I do that all the time. Everybody's got a story. And I make up the most stories, especially when I'm standing in the 300-foot line to board the plane. And I make up a specific story every time when they use these words. We'd like to now invite boarding for first class, business class, and platinum card members. And as they pull their 9 pieces of luggage with them to get in and board the plane, I've already made up in my mind a story about them. And it's not positive. So then what happens? You finally get on board the plane with all the hot, sweaty masses of last class passengers. And who's sitting at the front of the plane? First class, business class, with their champagne and their blankets. We encounter in our gospel lesson today a couple of disciples who want to be first class passengers on Jesus' plane to glory. This isn't the first time they've been in this predicament. Even just 2 weeks ago when I talked about the rich man who wanted to get into heaven, there's a first class passenger who interviews Jesus and says, "What is it going to take for me to get on first class to heaven in some ways?" What's Jesus' response? Do you remember? It's easier for what to go through the eye of a needle? A camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a wealthy person to enter the kingdom of God. It's much easier. And the disciples are astonished and they say these words, "But we've given up everything." And Jesus says, "You're exactly right. And now you're going to have all these things. You'll have 100 times family and friends. You'll have 100 times fields and fields. You'll have 100 times of persecution." And so we get to our gospel lesson today. And Jesus is on the way up to Jerusalem after telling these people. Let's set the stage for just a second. Right at the beginning, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to this again. It's Mark 10, verse 32. It tells who's standing in order, right? Who's at the front of the line going up to Jerusalem? At this point, it's Jesus, correct? Jesus is standing here. Who's next in the line? The disciples. That's right. The disciples are next. And then if you read carefully, who's next? Followers. There are followers of Jesus. People who haven't reached the first class of discipleship, right? And then lastly, as we notice, there's a whole group of crowd that are following Jesus. The ones that have really just want to follow a king that could perhaps take them into Jerusalem. So Jesus, disciples, I'm standing on the beach, the crowd, the followers, and then the crowd. I wonder about this group right here, these followers, what they're thinking as they hear the two disciples say, "Jesus, we want you to do whatever we tell you." Does anyone ever pray that prayer to Jesus? "Jesus, I want you to do whatever I ask." Come on, be honest. Usually it's couched in holy terms. Jesus, I want you to do whatever I ask as long as it's your will. And I pretend that it's not my will that is overcoming this. But this is what the disciples, they don't even tell Jesus, we want you to do what we want. And for me, I would think that Jesus would just shut that down right away. No thanks. But he asked the question, well, what do you want? We want to be first class passengers. We want to sit in first class, one at your right side, one at the other, as you drive this plane. And Jesus says, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't even know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup? Can you be baptized with the baptism? Can you do this? And of course, these two say, yeah, of course we can. And you will. Jesus promises suffering for disciples. Did you know that? This is the third time that Jesus has brought up and mentioned that he's about to go to Jerusalem to suffer at the hands of the authorities, be killed, and die. The third time. And he promises this to happen for us too when he says, take up your own cross and follow me. Gerhard Forty writes this. In Jesus' own understanding of talking about what our theology of the cross is, in Lutheran circles, we talk about the theology of the cross is at the center of all of our existence and our understanding, not a theology of glory that it's all about us, but it is about Jesus Christ. He says this, in the absence of clear understanding, the theology of the cross tends to be sentimentalized. It's about emotions, especially in an age where we're so concerned about victimization. Jesus is spoken of as one who just identifies with us our suffering, or who sits with us, or is in solidarity with suffering. These are platitudes or easy ways to talk about this by preachers today. Theologians who want to stroke the psyche of our today's religionists. But this is supposed to make God more attractive to people. If we can just somehow say God is with you in your suffering. But what's left out is that God actually drives us into suffering, because in the suffering is the only place that we can recognize that it is God alone who saves us. We suffer by denying ourselves, and we find that the disciples, after they have just said, we've given up everything to follow you, everything, now they have to give up themselves and their own ego and their own wants and their own desires, and Jesus draws this out of them like an infected splinter. He says the only way that you can do this is to understand how we suffer together. But suffering, which is integral to discipleship, we have to do it. It is not the last word. Suffering in itself can be a very self-centered thing, because we focus on our pain. But suffering, as Stan Guthrie says, but suffering with our eyes on Jesus gives us hope. We serve in the midst of our suffering because Jesus says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And how do we do this? How do we serve in the midst of suffering? Because if you're anything like me, most times when I think about serving other people, I'm thinking about going somewhere else than the place that I am right now. Most people say missionaries go far, far away, or on the other side of town, not in their midst. You notice Jesus says you must serve each other first. When I was younger, my parents had this enormous vegetable garden. It was bigger than this place. It was horrible. I mean, it was good to eat it at the end, but what has to happen during the entire summer? You've got to weed the thing. So my parents produce offspring to weed this. So every summer from about 2 years of age, I don't know how old it was, probably 6 or 7 years of age, they trot us out in the garden and say, look at these beautiful peas that need to be weeded. Some carrots. And of course, we'd trudge and we'd pick them out, suffering. Then at the end of that, my parents would say, now your reward is to go to Grandpa and Grandma's house. Oh boy, was it exciting to go to Grandpa and Grandma's house. So we packed up, went 2 hours, drove to Grandpa and Grandma's house. The first thing Grandma says is, we're going to go weed the garden. Do you know what our response was? Yes. This is Grandma's house. We're going to weed the garden at Grandma's house. The plot's a lot smaller, too. It was much more fun to serve somewhere else than in the midst of my parents and my brothers and sisters who I had to live with all the time. So it is in serving. We serve those in our midst first in some ways to practice of what God calls us to usher in the kingdom, not to be captains of the plane of glory. We are asked to be ushers. And so the disciples are asked, standing here, to stand aside. The first class shall become the last class to bring these and usher them to Jesus. The ones who were fearful behind the ones who were astonished. Our opportunity is to take a step back and be the ushers of the kingdom, brothers and sisters in Christ. And even in the midst of the suffering as we serve, realizing that our one and only hope is in Jesus Christ, that we can bring others into glory, to know glory in Jesus Christ. Disciples, the followers, and the crowd. God bless you this week as we usher in and help to usher in the kingdom and those to God. Amen.